agritourism, we have spoken on this. Working people, the urban population prefer to visit a location in the rural areas to get feel experience of rural life. Now in agritourism, what you do, you would go and stay in the farm or agriculture land. You would be with the farmers. You would be getting up along with them. Will go down to their farmland, would help them, would possibly get the locally cooked food for you there. You would use the utilities, possibly enjoy bathing with a tube well, and so on and so forth. So the pioneers state to develop and promote agritourism in this country is Maharashtra. And of course, I mentioned with great respect the name of Mr. Pandurang Tavre, who is considered a father of agritourism. He has been awarded number of awards for contributing greatly to agritourism. It will provide the tourists the feel of the rural lifestyle. Who doesn't want to see greenery, especially we urban people who have been living and looking for some greenery around us, some rural life, at least for once in a year, maybe twice in a year, best place is to go down to agritourism. Adventure tourism also, we have seen new product one can try is niche kind. Niche is something different. Niche doesn't mean very high, something different. Kind of tourism involving exploration or travel to remote areas where the traveler should expect an unexpected. And I said to you, adventure tourism is classified as soft and hard adventure tourism. Soft, which everybody can do it, and hard tourism, you need stamina, willpower, age group, sometimes matters as well. For example, climbing, mountain climbing, exploring, or going into the mountain with a lot of snow-capped mountain where oxygen level keep dropping as you keep climbing up. So you need stamina for that. You need to have a willpower. So for hard adventure tourism, you need to have these components. Soft adventure tourism also involves a lot of willpower and out of your comfort zone activities. There are adventure tourists who go down in Amazon River where they explore and walk for 2 days without seeing a sunlight. Without seeing a sun, because sunlight comes and seeps into it and so on. So this is some sort of adventure tourism rapidly growing in popularity as tourists seek unusual holidays, different from the typical beach vacation. This also is picking up, and the typical activities may include mountaineering, expedition, trekking, bungee jumping, rafting, and rock climbing. So bungee jumping also has certain, as I said, these are hard tourism. There are certain age limits requirement also in beach, adventure tourism. Not everybody can take up a bungee jumping because you are dropped from a particular height and you just swing. Tracking for that matter. You are lost if you don't know rock climbing. There are people who climb the steep rocks. People do this in Maharashtra, Western Ghat. They climb 500, 600 meters. Sometime with a guide, sometime on their own. So adventure tourism need a lot of willpower, stamina, especially if you take up parasailing, for example, where you are taken on a speedboat and you are, parachute. That's an adventure tourism. You drop from certain height, parasailing or gliding. These are all components of adventure tourism. Scuba diving. You go with a oxygen cylinder and you go down deep. Look at the flora and fauna, the marine life downstairs. the reef, the coral beach, all these are components of adventure tourism. Medical tourism, it refers to people traveling abroad to obtain a medical treatment, is a practice of traveling across international border to obtain health care and medical treatment. Certain countries are famous for certain type of treatment. Though India offers a lot of good medical facilities, we do get huge number of international tourists for medical tourism who stay post-medical treatment for recovering time period also, that brings in good number of tourists. We have many good heart hospitals here. Asian Heart is one to be named, and other medical treatment for which international tourists come. Big number of Middle Eastern tourists come here. Even comparatively, the price-wise, offering better value for money, a surgery that may possibly take $100,000 in a Western country, say US or Europe, would cost here $35,000 with post-treatment stay, medical surgery, all included. So value for money with a quality treatment, we find a lot of international tourists coming to India. Another very important medical tourism, I must mention about it, the gender change. Surgeries are happening. Thailand offers one of the best facilities for that type of a treatment. People go to Thailand because it's reasonably priced as compared to what they offer. Obesity, all these type of medical treatment, people travel various parts of the world. Cancer, for that matter, people travel down to US for the treatment of cancer. Mumbai offers one of the best hospitals in all over India, Tata. You find many Indians coming in from as remote as Assam and northeastern state coming to Mumbai for cancer treatment. Volunteer tourism also we have seen is all about traveling with a social cause. Volunteer is an option for mainly those who are interested to work in the NGO sector or are interested in social welfare or development activities. As a human being, you find responsible towards certain group of people who are not well aware or can't afford, they don't have skill, they don't have knowledge, they don't have money to pay to skilled people to come and train them. So a lot of volunteers could possibly to lift the capacity of their tourism industry or be there in peak season to support the tourists who have arrived and guide them. That's a volunteer tourism. Say, for example, a Kumbh Mela, where you will find a lot of volunteers going there and helping tourists to understand different ritual, different places, different direction, because Kumbh Mela attracts huge number of tourists. So volunteers are seen there, not necessarily always from the government officials, employed people, but volunteers do exist for the social cause. During the travel for a charitable cause, volunteer vacation vary widely in scope from low-skill work, which is like cleaning, or to provide high-skill medical aid in foreign country. This also happens when earthquake was there in Nepal. There were a good number of doctors who were sent from India to provide medical support. Kumbh Mela is an ideal example I gave. Lot of people go there as a noble cause to help. You see volunteers going down to Golden Temple, helping the tourists there, working in the kitchen, washing utensils, as some sort of volunteerism. Of course, the piety and the religious and spiritual feelings work behind it. And likewise, people go during Hajj time over normal scenarios, over 1 lakh Hajis go to Mecca, and you need support because some of them can't speak Arabic, not some, many. So you have Indian volunteers who go there, support, help them to move them from one place to another, especially people going from rural areas are not comfortable, not exposed to various activities. So these are all volunteer tourism, which is picking up, which is there as a noble cause. This also provides an opportunity, those who enter as a volunteer, to see the place for themselves. With a noble cause of social service, you also have an opportunity to see the place, because an NGO would be sponsoring you. So your care has been taken by that. And that's a trend that any young generation people are taking, including from skill to very highly skilled to non-skilled people. Wellness tourism, again, is a repetition of medication, meditation or regeneration. So this we have done it. Cultural tourism, with an interest in a specific culture, people with a passion to gain cultural knowledge, and that is the basic purpose of travel. So you need to understand the cultural activities. I'll give you an example of Chhattisgarh, which is a tribal belt where Dashera happens for 75 days. They start the festival and it lasts for 75 days. Now you can imagine, those who would like to see how the tribal people celebrate Dashera for such a long time, 75 days. And this is what some people go and learn. What do they in the Baisakhi festival, Basant festival, or many examples can be given on to that. They go to Kerala, for example, boat, the different boat, the martial art, the local martial art. All these are cultural activities for which people go. It's a type of tourism that allows the tourists to participate in local cultural activities like festivals and rituals. As a result, the tourism can enjoy a genuine culture exchange with the local, especially those who would like to experience and are part of that would also not only enjoy but learn a lot about their culture. Why do they do so? Culinary also, we have understood that it is interested to understand how a particular recipes, all particular dishes are made. You learn about that. Also, you experience food festival, food competition, visit local farms, wineries, cheese manufacturing companies. For example, wineries, you go down to France, Germany, where vineyards are there, or you go down to, for example, Ireland, which is famous for dark beer. People go down to those. There are certain visits that are allowed in certain specific hours. From Sula Wines of our Maharashtra in Nashik, you are allowed to visit in certain hours with a guided tour to visit the winery where they manufacture Sula wine in Nashik, where you also go through the vineyard where the grapes are grown, what type of cultivation happened. People go there, learn about this. Culinary, of course, refers to food cooking. So you make local food with local communities, as well as I mentioned, culinary tourism, where a particular hotel would run within their hotel premises, cooking classes, coaching, cheese festivals happening in Netherlands, Holland, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, all these areas, Hague, where people go and visit cheese farms. You go in Switzerland, where you find these cheese farms, where you can learn dairy-related products being manufactured. South Africa takes you to the bottling plant of various juice, because they have abundance of fresh fruit and they market the finished product, the various juices. You find any type of fruit that is there in South Africa and they import. There people visit there. Heritage tourism is said to be the place based compared to culture tourism. Now, heritage is purely based on a particular place, not cultural, but a place. For example, heritage sites in Mumbai, UNESCO has named them, the CST terminus and the municipal corporation building. Many are coming up. They are added. funding comes to support that from UNESCO, Ajanta Ellora Caves, UNESCO protected site, and many such sites that are heritage sites. Heritage tourism include visit to places or sites that are included in the UNESCO's World Cultural and National Heritage List. This site could be cultural site, natural site, and mixed sites. And the funding comes to support, especially face uplifting, restoring heritage site which have decayed in course of time. For example, the famous temples in Madhya Pradesh, the Khajuraho temples that were lost for many years, were rediscovered. And it has now, for last so many years, it is now a famous tourist attraction. There's a special flight that is being operated by Air India that covers Khajuraho, Varanasi, just to show the heritage and culture tourists, the different places of interest there. So Khajuraho temples is a wonderful heritage site, like we have Ajanta and Ellora. Spiritual and religious tourism, namely visiting religious places, is where people travel individually or in group for pilgrimage purposes. It's part of the Indian travel and tourism. I've said this. Traditionally, for years, international travelers were coming to India to understand various religious practices, understand, for example, still good number of tourists come to India from Southeast Asian country or from even Sri Lanka, be it is from Sri Lanka, Thailand, Cambodia, Myanmar, they come to the Nirvana place, Buddha Gaya, where Gautam Buddha got Nirvana. They come to that as a spiritual and religious tourism. There is a Buddhist circuit in Bihar where tourists do visit those places. So that's a spiritual tourism. Dark tourism, awkward. Some people are interested to explore isolated building areas or places associated with mystery. We have understood it. I've given an example of Jallianwala Bagh. I give you examples of the sites in Cambodia near the capital Phnom Penh, where hundreds of people were killed, brought and systematically killed. And that's a site where people go with a lot of respect. After the exploration, they found a lot of human skulls and bone. So they have displayed that there. You have places in Vietnam. You have places practically everywhere where war impacts can be seen, battlefield can be seen. That's all. We close our talk on this chapter of various tourism trends and time. Thank you so much. You were listening to Professor.